Mark 11:23 talks about mountains. This mountain. Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. You'll notice you speak to the mountain. I like the translation says, whosoever shall say the mountain, move! That's clear, isn't it? Move! In other words, you're not moving it just inches so you can go around it. But you're moving it totally and completely out of your way. This mountain, whosoever shall say unto what? This mountain, this mountain. In other words, there was a specific mountain. This mountain. It wasn't a do something. Please do something. It was a person who had identified their desire, their need, and spoke specifically to that desire, to that need. Whosoever shall say to this mountain. It wasn't what I call a multiple choice prayer. Now we find that in the following verse. What things soever you desire. It's a specific mountain. It's a specific desire. Now that's where the prayer of faith begins. It begins by identifying the mountain, identifying the need, having a specific desire. And many times when we pray and give God choices. God, if I should have this job in Orlando, open that door. If I should have this job in Lakeland, open the Lakeland door, close the Orlando door. Does that sound specific to you? Does that sound like we've identified the mountain? Does that sound like we're moving in faith? No. Absolutely not. That kind of prayer will not be answered. Not by the prayer of faith. Now Mark 11:24 is the prayer of faith. It identifies the mountain. What mountain are you moving? This mountain. Whosoever shall say, whosoever. Is that good news or what? Whosoever. Whosoever will say. Now many times we're not even speaking to the mountain. We're talking about the mountain. Oh, I have this awful pain. I have this traumatic problem. We're telling everybody we know about the mountain, but we're not talking to the mountain. And it's all right. And in fact, I encourage you to have a friend, a confidant, someone full of faith who won't let your nose dive and get into grief and bitterness and doubt. Someone who will raise you up and say, I hear what you're saying, but now let's go over the word of the living God. Someone who will encourage you and strengthen you. Everybody needs somebody. Iron sharpens iron. The multitude of counselors, the scripture says. So you should have somebody you can talk to, somebody you can consult with, somebody who won't let you crawl on your belly. You know what I mean? Have you ever done that? You should be walking and leaping, and you're crawling and creeping. Well, you need somebody. But you've got to identify the mountain. You've got to speak specifically to that mountain. And it says this will work for whosoever will speak to the mountain, not speak about the mountain. And if Susan is my confidant, and once we've discussed my mountain, I still have to speak to the mountain. And sometimes, friend, clear your vision. Have you noticed that? Because it doesn't look nearly as traumatic to me as it would to you. And sometimes just talking to a friend, you can see it's not as big a deal as you thought. Or maybe it is a big deal, but you see all things are possible with God and all things are possible with the man that believes that all things are possible with God. And it helps you clear up your mountain. Helps you see clearly. Now we're not going to talk about the mountain. That's okay to talk to a friend. Now people that go from friend to friend have generally not addressed the mountain. They're depending upon some friend to do something for them. We will work with you. We cannot work for you. We can stand by your side to work with you, to help you to overcome, to point you to the correct scriptures. But I can't do this for you. So once the friend has worked with you and helped you, and my vision is clear, and I'm anchored in the word of the living God, I'm going to speak to this mountain. I'm going to say, move. And I meant to the sea. That's about what? 100 miles from here? to the depths of the sea. I don't mean on the beach, on the shoreline. Now, if you have a specific desire, you've identified. How are you going to identify your desire? You know, if it's disease, it's fairly easily identified. What I want is this particular disease to be removed in the mighty name of Jesus. That's the mountain. That's what I want. But sometimes if it's jobs, houses, lands, it's harder to identify. I'm going to go straight to James. Now, I'm not praying the prayer of faith. I'm asking for wisdom. If any lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and upbraids not. So I'm just telling God to help me to accumulate, to bring from my spirit, where the Holy Spirit is in residence, to my mind his desire. Years ago, a lady came to me. She lost the job she'd had for many, many years. Her company closed down, sold out, and the new company dismissed most of the older employees, and she didn't have a job. That's all she'd ever done. Well, she was reading the want ads, and she said, by her very words, that this particular want ad stood up off the page. Now, I believe that. She said, that's my job. So she went to apply for that job. It was not here, and they hired her. 2 weeks later, they called her and said they'd gone over their budget and felt like they couldn't fill that position at this time. They appreciated her application. She was well qualified. They wished her good luck, but no job. Now, see, she had identified, she had a specific desire by revelation of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, by supernatural manifestation, had pointed out that want ad to her, stood it up on the page, made sure that she saw it. That's her job. That's her job. Now, doubt comes to separate you from your faith and from your desire. The word doubt means to separate. So doubt comes, so I'll turn loose. So I'll not be anchored. So I'll not be steadfast. Now, look at James chapter 1. And this is a familiar passage of Scripture, but it's helpful to us. First of all, in 1:5, if we lack wisdom, we ask. Now, she had wisdom. Wisdom is the mind of the Lord. It's not man's mind, man's thinking. You remember we read last week, Jesus spoke to the disciples about bread. He's talking about the leaven of the Pharisees. He's talking about wrong doctrine, and they thought he's talking about lunch. They totally misunderstood. And it said they had little faith, and the reason they had very little faith is because they were in the realm of reason. They were trying to ponder, think it through, figure it out. You know, you can't figure out God. You look through the Old Testament. He's done very little that's reasonable, that's logical. Burning a bush to speak to a man, turning the fire out, and the bush still stands is unreasonable. You can't figure that out. Throwing Daniel in the lion's den. If we were doing it, reason and logic would demand that we get the military together, storm the palace, rescue Daniel. God said, "Nah, we'll just shut the mouth of the lions." So when I talk about wisdom, I'm not talking about my ability to figure things out. I'm talking about hearing from heaven. Now, this lady heard from heaven. Even though the company said, "We're not going to fill that position, we can't do it," she heard from heaven. Now, if doubt comes, very easy to fall into doubt and say, well, they're not. They just said they are not going to hire anybody, that their budget at this time will not allow them to hire. And see, reason and logic will separate you from the mind of the Lord. Once you're separated from the mind of the Lord, your faith doesn't work. And if your faith doesn't work, your prayer's not answered and your mountain's not moved. I've done that. That's how I know. And it may not be reason and logic that separates you from the mind of the Lord. It may be emotions. And I'm real captured lately by the terminology from the Amplified, undisturbed composure. People with undisturbed composure appear callous and uncaring. But it's not necessarily truth. They're anchored in God. Now, I know there are callous and uncaring people, but you know the difference. Here's someone that has the mind of the Lord, that's anchored in God, that refuses to allow an emotion or a feeling to separate them from the will of God. See, I'm going to pray the prayer of faith. It says the prayer of faith will save the sick. Not might save the sick, could save the sick, hope saves the sick. It says it will. It will. It even says I can call for the elders of the church. In other words, I can get somebody to help me pray the prayer of faith. But you notice, I'm the one who identified the mountain, who called for the elders to help me move the mountain. Now, many times when we pray, we think we're praying the prayer of faith. I don't have any idea what you want, what you need, how you feel, but I'm just going to get with Susan and we're going to pray the prayer of faith for you. Well, that won't work. Now, there are many different kinds of prayer, but that's not the kind of prayer I'm going to pray for you if I can't identify your need and get you to come into agreement with us. The prayer of faith requires that the person with the mountain sees the mountain. Even if they can't move the mountain alone, they do see and identify the mountain. They have a specific desire. They have the mind of the Lord. They've heard from heaven. And they say, help me. Help me. Help me. And this is a prayer of faith. We'll save. Will. Do you like that? Will. That's why it's important. My associates are important. I mean, you want somebody that's really in faith, do you not? Not somebody you think's in faith. Not somebody that says the right things, but somebody whose heart is anchored in God. Who is indeed praying in faith. Many times, and I don't know why this is on my mind, I just throw it out. Our friends are not a help to us. They hurt us. And I don't care how much you love me, if I'm not in faith, don't consult with me about the mountain. Okay, we lack wisdom. We ask God. It says he gives liberally. My, he's a generous God. He's going to tell you what you need to know about you. Now, don't ask him about me. Sometimes we do some things in the name of compassion. It's because we're nosy. It's not really compassion. We think a need to know. Now, sometimes I'm going to pray for you, and I do know what God is saying to me about you, but I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm not going to run from pillar to post. I'm not even going to tell you. You know, I found out over the years, 2 or 3, 4 or 5 times somebody's come to me to tell me what the Lord said to them about me, that it didn't help me to know that. He didn't tell you so you could come tell me. He told you so you could pray for me. And the best way to pray for me, since you don't know exactly where I'm at and what I'm thinking and where my mind is and where my heart is to pray in tongues, pray in the Spirit, and allow the Holy Spirit to bring heaven's word to heaven's throne. Oh, thank God, it wouldn't make any sense to me that heaven wouldn't have a language. Does it make any sense to you that God wouldn't have a language? That God wouldn't have a multitude of languages? That the mouth of God is silent and he's confined to earth's linguistics? See, sometimes just a little right thinking will put us on the road to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God has many languages. And he gives that to me, and that's how I'm going to pray for you, but that's not prayer of faith. Because the man in James 5 called for the elders to pray the prayer of faith. He may have just been inching along, but he was inching along. And he knew he wasn't moving fast enough in the Word and in faith to get to his goal line to get the victory, so he called for assistance. But he wasn't stationary and he wasn't unaware. Now, if you're unaware, see, prayer of faith's not going to work for you. If I see you're just oblivious, you're unaware, I'm going to pray differently for you. First of all, I'm going to pray Ephesians chapter 1, you have the spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding enlightened. That's awareness. I'm going to pray for you to have some awareness. Now, once I have the mind of the Lord, like this lady did, I can't let anything separate me from the mind of the Lord. Desire comes from the Lord. It comes from the very mind and heart of the Lord. It's because He has spoken. Now, He spoke in His Word about sickness and disease. He's against sickness. He's against disease. He's for health. He's for healing. I do not have to pray. Can I be healed? Am I going to be healed? I have His Word. This is His Word. If I stepped into heaven's throne and said, I don't know what to do about my finances, He said, Becky, if you'd give, it'd be given unto you. God is still saying today the same things He's always said. He said, Becky, by Jesus' stripes you were healed, and no weapon formed against you will prosper. And I did send my word, and I have healed you. That's exactly what He said. That's what He's always said. And so I don't have to pray like I would about a job or a house or a car. Because what type of car I'm driving is not in here. And where I should live is not in here. Although He did say He would make provision and I shouldn't worry about any of life's needs, particularly food and water and clothing. So I know God is going to meet my need, but I go to Him for wisdom. That means specific revelation that does not contradict but is in agreement with the Word of the living God. What is my desire? What do I need? That's prayer of faith. It's very specific. Now it's based on a specific word from heaven. And the reason you need a specific word is because where does faith come from? I'm not talking about the word of a friend. I'm talking about the word of God. Because we're going to pray the prayer of faith. And if you don't have the word, you don't have faith. You've got to have the word in order to have the faith. We're praying the prayer of faith. And if I don't have the word, it's going to be so easy for the devil to get me off into the realm of feelings, emotions, and reason. If I don't know what God has said about my mountain, then it's going to be so easy to throw me offline. In other words, to make me to waver. The Word brings me faith so I can pray, and it keeps me anchored in faith while I'm standing for the manifestation. You know, once you pray, that mountain may be as big as it ever was. It may look like it hasn't gone anywhere, may not have gone anywhere in the realm of physical things, but in the spirit, the command has been given. And there is often a time span between the time I pray in faith with the word of faith about this specific thing. There's often a time span before I open my eyes one day and the mountain's gone. In that time span, I have to have the word of faith to keep me anchored, to keep me out of doubt. If I become separated from the Word, I become separated from my faith, my prayer disintegrates and it's not answered. Now, I know you may have a moment where you waver, but you've got the Word available. You meditated in the Word. You took a specific scripture that talked about your mountain. In the realm of healing, there are many scriptures. Whichever one you like. Said, Father, you said you were Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, my physician. And I believe that. So I'm asking in Jesus' name for you to remove, name that specific disease, if you know what it is, from my body. And I'm thanking you that you do that. Now, once I prayed in faith, the prayer of faith, that thing, the command has been given in the spirit, and that disease is departing. But because faith is of the spirit, it's of the heart, my body doesn't know it yet. Your body doesn't know anything. Now, healing comes. Here's the body and the spirit. Man is a spirit being in a physical body. And you prayed the prayer of faith. Well, where is faith? It's in the heart. So where did your answer begin? In the heart. So it's coming to the body. So the day you prayed, your body may not know a thing. May not sense anything, see anything, notice anything. You may feel as sick as you always felt. But I'm anchored, see. I've got the specific desire and the specific word. The word of the Lord said, I am Jehovah Rapha, your healer. And I'm holding on to the word of the Lord to be secure, my confidence to be unwavering. I can have an unshakable confidence in Almighty God. That no matter how long a time span, I know we don't like time spans, but I cannot apologize for time spans. There is often a time span, but all of that time, you don't see anything, you don't feel anything, you don't sense anything. God is at work. He begins in your spirit. He begins on the inside. And what's on the inside will come to the outside if faith remains anchored. Now, how can I anchor my faith with the Word? That's why before I pray, I get the Word. While I pray, I hold fast to the Word, bringing the Word to heaven. And after I pray, I maintain my stand in the Word because I don't want to waver. Now, let me show you what happens according to James. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. What wavers? That word waver is to doubt, to hesitate, to be separated from the Word and from your desire. It says nothing wavers. In other words, my desire doesn't waver. Now, this lady could have said, you know, they're not going to hire anybody. She could have wavered. She came to me and said, they called and said, they're not going to hire anybody. I said, but you said, you know, and if you get a revelation from the newspaper, God's really at work. You told me that that ad stood up on the page, and that's how you noticed it. She said, well, yes. See, you know why God gave her that supernatural experience? Because he knew they were going to hire her and fire her in 2 weeks' time, and he wanted her to be anchored. Often the supernatural is to anchor you for hard times, for difficult moments. If you hadn't seen an angel, say, thank God. You go through the scripture, every time they saw an angel, they were either headed to prison, coming out of prison, cast into the sea for 2 days. No, if you hadn't seen an angel, you're probably coasting just fine. God gives the supernatural. He gave her that supernatural experience because that was her job, and he knew that the people were going to waver on her and that she might have a tendency to withdraw, to hesitate. It says, ask in faith, ask in faith. Faith is from the Word. Ask with the Word. Say, Father, you said in your Word, you're Jehovah Rapha, the great healer. See, the prayer of faith is the prayer of the Word, so I take the Word that I've meditated in that's caused faith to come and present that Word to the Father. It's a word prayer. It's a word prayer. It's a word prayer. And it works for people with the Word. And it won't work for people without the Word. Now, I had the Word of the Lord. Specific desire, specific Word. And when I began to pray, I took that specific Word to the Father. And now while I'm standing for my manifestation, I know I'm anchored in the Spirit. I hold fast to that Word because the Word holds me steadfast. And I said, was that your job or not? Yes, she said. Did you have that supernatural experience? She said, I did. I said, did we agree? See, basically the prayer of agreement is two people agreeing on the prayer of faith. Did we agree? So she said, I'm going to hold fast to this job. That's my job. I said, it certainly is your job. Well, a few weeks went by. Now, you know, she's without a job. What happens when you're without a job? You can't pay your bills and you could get hungry. What is the purpose of hunger and bill collectors? Doubt. Doubt. Say doubt. Separates you from your faith. You go, what are we going to do? No, it says ask in faith and don't waver. Don't waver. Don't waver. We're going to have plenty of things to see and to feel and to sense that are going to cause us to jump ship, to bail out. Once I bail out, my prayer is totally canceled. That won't work for me. I've got the Word because I need an anchor. It says Jesus is the Word. He's the anchor of the soul. It's in the realm of the soul, the mind, will, and the emotions that I am most likely to waver. Because the mind says, I see that. Oh, I see that. Oh, did you see that? You know, all of your friends will help you to see that the disaster is growing and that your faith is. Oh, they'll help you. They'll say, oh, you're much worse, aren't you? What does your doctor say? It's the devil's program of doubt. Doubt is to separate. It means to withdraw. Now, if I have money in the bank and I withdraw that money, do I have money in the bank? I did have money in the bank, but once I withdraw it, I don't have money in the bank. To doubt means to make a withdrawal. So if I have faith, faith brings the answer, and I make a withdrawal, I withdraw my faith. No faith, no answer. And yet faith is available. Faith comes by hearing the Word. If I don't like my faith level, I just go back to the Word. go over that same promise over and over and over again. I'm not one who knows a lot of things. I know a few things very, very well. If I find something that I think I need deposited in my heart, I go over it and over it and over it. My family laughs at me. They say, Mother, do you ever get past chapter one? You know, and a lot of books I've never read the end of. Because once I find something that my heart has need of, I read it continually. I read it until I can almost quote it. And yet I'm not trying to memorize it. It says in Luke chapter 9, let this word sink down into your ears. Let it what? Sink down. You throw a rock in a pond and it sinks down into the pond. Let it what? Why? Because you need to be anchored. Because the doctor come along and said, that's not working. And he's going to try something that's probably not going to work either. That's going to have more side effects than the last thing you tried. Have you noticed that? Step A, step B, you seem to go, mountain grows taller. But see, I'm anchored. I have the word of the Lord. I prayed in faith. It says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Now what happens? Somebody says, I found this house and this is my house. You agree with me. And I agree with them, and we pray and we have this house on Lemon Street. Have it in the realm of faith. They said, that's my house. They told me that was their house. Next thing you know, I don't see them for a little while, and I surpass them, and I say, how's the house? I've had this very experience. I'm not telling you something that's just come to me at the moment. I've had this experience with people. I say, how's the house coming? You signed the papers yet? Are you making progress? Oh, and we're not going to get that house. They're thinking about, now this is the house. Now, wait a minute. They told me this was the house. But now this isn't the house. This is the house. Now, one of two things have happened. They either did not hear from God about this house, or the devil stole their house. And he stole it because the bank will say, you know, that's beyond your financial ability. They'll say, you can't do that. See, doubt. Separate you from the will of God. Separate you from the desire of God. Separate you from the plan of God. Separate you from the purpose of God. So you've compromised, you've gone over here to a house that does not belong to you. You're going to buy somebody else's house. And somebody is going to be living in your house because you turned loose of the will of God. You see that, don't you? You know, I can anchor. I mean, when I anchor, I anchor. I know a couple times I've had to turn loose for reasons. And it's the hardest thing in the world. Yes. It's like the little girl, she prayed for her grandma for a long time. Grandma was really, really sick, and she prayed for grandma. Eventually, grandma went to be with the Lord. And her mother told me the next night she went and she said, the Lord bless Daddy, bless Mama, and heal Grandma. She'd prayed that so long, she'd been so anchored there, she couldn't quite, they had to help her to shift gears, to change. Now, when I anchor, I said, no, I prayed and the word says, I prayed and the word says, I prayed and the word says, I prayed and the word says. Now, you know, years ago, there was a plane went down in a river up north, a very cold river. And when they pulled those people out of the river, their hands were frozen to the apparatus that the helicopter dropped in front of them. Sometimes their hands were so frozen they couldn't hold on to. But once they got them hold on to and they'd swing them over to the shore, where they had a group of men waiting. And you know what the men were doing? Helping them to turn loose. They couldn't turn loose. That was the life preserver. That was what they needed in order to survive. If you turn loose of your faith or your desire, what are you going to have? So you can't turn loose. That's why I keep the word in me all the time. All the time. So you said, Father, by Jesus' stripes I was healed. You said, you said, you said. Now, how did Jesus run off the devil in Luke chapter 4? He quoted him the word. And I love the Message Bible because the Message Bible says Jesus said to the devil. Now, in Deuteronomy, devil, it says, I like that. He quoted him the word. He ran him off with the word. Well, do we have the word? We got the word before we prayed. We do have the word. The devil comes. What's he going to do? He's the purveyor of doubt and unbelief, going to try to separate me from the word. But one thing I know is turn loose a mama, turn loose a daddy, turn loose a Aunt Bertha, turn loose of the bank, turn loose of the nurse, turn loose of the surgery, but don't turn loose of the word. Amen. Now it says, ask in faith, do not waver. It means don't turn loose. Don't withdraw. In other words, when you withdraw, you made a beginning. Now, Peter made a beginning walking on the water. You remember Peter? I just like to say we can't be critical of Peter until we've walked on the water. He did begin. We've not even begun. Years ago, I was invited to a graduation, Bible school graduation, and they wanted us to come, and we went. Well, in front of the stadium where they were having the graduation, they had this little pond about this deep with a fountain, but the fountain wasn't on that day because the wind was blowing so. And I said, what's the purpose of the pond? And the gentleman who was graduating with his degree in Bible said, oh, that's where we practice walking on the water. Oh, but see, Peter was walking on the water. But said he saw the wind, boisterous. Now, do you know that wind was blowing before he started walking on the water? The wind had not changed. It was blowing in the beginning. It was blowing while he was walking. And suddenly he saw it. I said he began to sink. Now, number one, you don't begin to sink. You ever begun to sink? You can't begin to sink. How did he begin to sink? As his faith wavered. Separation from the word. See, Jesus said, he said, if it's you, bid me come to you on the water. He had the word. Jesus said, come. You only need one word. That's the only word you had was come. Come on. And he stepped, it says he stepped down out of the boat. That means it wasn't a rowboat. You don't step down out of a rowboat. He came down out of a boat, so it was big. He stepped down out. It says the wind was boisterous before he stepped down out of the boat. See, the mountain hadn't changed. The mountain hadn't changed. Suddenly he saw the mountain as the devil saw the mountain. He said, that mountain is going to cause you to sink. And he allowed the mountain to dominate his faith. He allowed the mountain to overcome the word that Jesus delivered. He said, Peter, come. If he had held fast to the word that had been delivered, he would never have begun to sink. But says he saw. And it's often my feelings. I've been believing God and I feel awful. In fact, I feel worse today than I felt before I prayed the prayer of faith. Or when I prayed the prayer of faith, I need $115.22. And now that I prayed the prayer of faith, I couldn't survive with a dime less than $2.10. You ever had that happen to you? Your first ship doesn't come in before your need grows. What's the purpose of that? Doubt. It also means to hesitate. If you're not sure, if you're a little hesitant, guess what that is? That's doubt. Years ago, there was a compass out called the Tate's Compass. And it didn't accurately show north, south, east, and west. And if you went out into the woods with the Tate's Compass, you couldn't depend upon the compass. So one gentleman who went on a hike and didn't come back for quite some time had a Tate's Compass. That was the source of his dilemma. He's following the compass, but the compass is not registering true north, south, east, and west. And they asked him, what took you so long? Where have you been? He said, well, I kept getting lost. Something's maybe wrong with my compass. I don't know what's wrong. He said, what kind of compass you got? He says, it's a Tate's. He said, well, he who hesitates is lost. That doesn't matter if you get separated from the word or you're hesitant. This is a confidence. Faith is confident. It's not hesitant. What causes doubt? The devil. But he just doesn't come and tap you on the shoulder and say, this is not going to work out. This is really not going to work out for you. No, he comes and says, do you see that? To separate me from the word. Jesus kept saying, it's written. The devil didn't give up, came back second time. Jesus said, it's written. The devil came back third time. Jesus said, it's written. That's why it's so important to know what's written. Because the devil will come. He lives here. And he will come and speak. And you notice people are full of the devil. If you notice that. And it says, don't waver. Don't waver. Don't waver. The only way I can be anchored is with the word. The only way I can keep from wavering. Now it says a double-minded man is unstable. Double-minded, that's a man with two opinions. This will work. This is great. This is God. No, this is not God. This is what God wants. Well, no, maybe it didn't. This is my house. Well, no, no. The bank says I can't have it. It's not my house. Well, is it written? I'm healed. I am healed. I am healed. I am walking on the water. Oh, I feel so awful. Two opinions. What happens to the man with two opinions? Unstable. Years ago, I had a unique experience, and I think it was just an experience of the moment. But this gentleman was very, very unstable. He'd come by our house continually. One day the Lord spoke to me, and I saw an intersection, a major intersection, you know, where there's four lanes of traffic all the way around. And I saw him standing there in the intersection going, and I heard the voice of the Lord said, get him out of the intersection. Any direction will do. In other words, we don't need the mind of the Lord right now. Jerk him up, get him over to the curb, to a place of safety in God. And then let's determine the will of the Lord. We can always turn him around if he's supposed to go north. Turn him around if he's supposed to go south. And I have no concept of where's north and south. I don't drive north. I go left and right when I drive. So we did our part. I went to his wife, talked to her. And the Lord has worked that out. But see, he was so double-minded. Now see, when I become unstable and insecure, you know how you recognize instability? You complain a lot. Oh, God! And you complain to everybody. So you need to know what causes instability. Two opinions, a double mind. And you watch people, is this my house or is this my house? They'll look at this, oh, I love it. They look at this, no, 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 this is it. No, 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 this is it. Next thing you know, they're not secure, they're not anchored, they're unstable, they're wavering. Their mind is not sound. What happened? Two opinions. It says the double-minded man is unstable. If at any point I'm unstable, I know instantly the problem could be that I'm not anchored in the word, that I don't have that specific desire and specific word that I need. Now, so he that wavers like a wave of the sea. You know, you go to the ocean, here comes a wave, then it's gone. It's here, it's gone. It's here, it's gone. It's here, it's gone. And that's doubt. That's separation. That's hesitant. That's withdrawing. The ocean comes and then it withdraws. And it comes and then it withdraws. And that's God's picture of it. Here it comes. No, there it goes. Here it comes. No, there it goes. And he says, don't do that. How can I not do that? How can I not do that when I'm surrounded by opinions and facts and feelings? You know, if they say you have cancer, you do. And don't pray, I don't have cancer, I don't have cancer, I don't have cancer, I don't have cancer. That won't work. You're not supposed to call those things that are as though they're not. That prayer won't work. It says call those things that are not. Call what is not. What is not? Health and healing. Said, I have a cancer-free body. My body responds to every medical treatment that's given to me. I have the mind of the Lord. I have the wisdom of God. I know when to proceed with medical treatment and when to stop. Now, in some diseases, that's not too important, but in cancer, they'll give you 10 choices. You know, that's important. I know when it's over, medical science and I. And see, I call for what I need because I have a specific desire and I have God's word. Now, I have animals, and I am being, my old lady died last year. I have another older one that probably won't live too long. And then I have a younger one and a bird and a cat. But when I go out to feed the dogs and the dogs aren't there, it's just call for what you need. Call for your desire. Call for your desire. Call for your desire. Don't say, you know, I don't send them say, don't come dogs because I don't see the dogs. Their dogs aren't here. I don't see the dogs aren't here. Don't come dogs. The dogs aren't here. I don't see dogs. I don't see dogs. I don't see dogs. I don't see dogs. You see any dogs? I don't see dogs. I don't see dogs. I said, don't have cancer, don't have cancer, don't have cancer, don't. You do have cancer. No, it says call for what you don't see. I get out there and I say, come here. I can't whistle. I wish that I could. That's been my desire in life that I've never been able to accomplish. Can't whistle. I said, come here, come here. Marky. Marky's just about deaf. I said, come here, lady, come here, lady. They're usually hiding in the bushes. Come here, lady. Why am I calling them? Because I don't see them. Because I don't feel them. I don't sense them because they're not here. Just call for what you need that's not here. Call for your desire. See, once you pray the prayer of faith, you constantly say, I thank you, Father, that this mountain is moved. And I have my healing. I have my health. And I love people. Agree with me that my doctor won't find anything. It's okay. There may be something there, but we've agreed that the doctor won't find it. I'm going to pray that he does find it. I mean, why are you going if you don't want him to find it? I don't know how many times people have said, agree with me that my doctor doesn't find anything. I thought, then don't go. And then they won't find it. No, it says, don't call. See, this is a mountain. Oh, I have a mountain. Oh, look at the mountain. Oh, my, the mountain. Oh, see the mountain. Oh, it's getting bigger. Oh, the mountain, the mountain, the mountain. No, it's his call for what your desire is. You say, mountain, be removed. And say, thank God it's gone. Thank God it's gone. It's gone. The mountain's gone. I have my health. I have my health. I have my health. I have my health. Every cell, muscle, and tissue, love this body responds to the word of the living God. I say, organs, you function perfectly. Body, you're in great chemical balance. All the days of my life, 70 and if by reason of strength, 80 years, I step out in faith. And my body supports the work of the Lord. That's what I need. I'm calling for what I need. There's no use looking in the mirror and say, oh, I am overweight. I am getting fatter by the day. I've got wrinkles, the bags under my eyes. It says, don't call for what you see. I don't know if this is a revelation to you, but any sinner can call for what he sees. It doesn't take any faith to call for what you see. When I step out and I don't see the dogs, it's because I don't see them. That I call them. And if my mother's standing right there in front of me, I said, just a minute, Mother, I'm going to go to the phone and call you. She's right here. You know when I call my mother? When she's not here. Why are you calling for healing? Because that's your desire. Mm-hmm. You understand that, don't you? My. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So easy to pray the prayer of faith. Find out what God wants. Find out what God says. Say what God says. Find out what God wants. Find out what God said. Say what God said. Now, I don't pray the prayer of faith but one time. Say one time.
One time.
One time.
One time.
It's not a prayer of faith. You have to pray it again. if it's a prayer of doubt or a prayer of unbelief or a prayer of hope so or a prayer of maybe so, but wasn't a prayer of faith. Because I had the promise of God when I prayed. Now, once I pray, every day I thank God for that and call for that. Say, oh, I thank you, Father, according to your word, I am healed. Thank you so much that according to the word, I don't sense anything, I don't feel anything unless I feel worse. That's often the case. but I prayed in faith with the word of faith. I am anchored in the word. I'm unwavering. Now you remember Jesus told the disciples, cross to the other side. He went up the mountain to pray. He sent them to the other side and said, a wind arose on the sea. The Sea of Galilee has frequent and sudden storms. And it's the boat filled with water. Now if the boat filled with water, they're standing in the water. But what did the word of the Lord say? Let's pass over to the other side. But they have a feeling here. They're in the water. Let's pass over to the other side, but I feel water. It's obvious the boat was filling with water. They weren't standing around. They were bailing as fast as they could bail, but they couldn't bail all the water out as fast as water's coming in. Now we've got a choice here. We can hold fast to the word of the Lord. What did God say? What did Jesus say when he went to the mountain to pray? You guys, pass over to the other side. What did he say? By my stripes, you were healed. Now we have a specific desire. We have specific word. We ask in faith. That means we ask with that word. We stand with thanksgiving. Now what happens if you did pray the prayer of faith, but as time passed, your faith wavered? Repent. This is so easy. Say, shh, God, did you see me waver? He'll go, uh-huh. Oh, I said, boy, I about turned loose of that, didn't I? He'll say, uh-huh. I believe he speaks good English, like, uh-huh. I said, boy, I about turned loose, didn't I? Uh-huh. What do? You go back to where you started. You go back to the word and say, no, Lord, I prayed because you said by Jesus Christ we were healed. And I'm thanking you. I just go back to thanking him. I repent and go back and say, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God I'm healed. Thank God I'm healed. And no matter what the devil says, no matter what the doctor says, the banker says, some relative, some friend says, I said, no, Jesus said, pass to the other side. 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 So you're going to die. I am healed. Every need is supplied. I have undisturbed composure. Jesus said. Jesus said. You know, I've gone round and round my kitchen island weeping and wailing, saying, thank God I have undisturbed composure. Why am I saying that? I'm calling those things that be not. I'm not going to walk around my kitchen island and say, boy, I'm weeping and wailing today. I am falling apart. I don't know what I'm ever going to do with me. I can't get it together. No, that's what you got. Is that what you want? That's what you don't want. Call for your desire. What's your desire? I'd like to blow my nose for the last time today and stand upright and say, now what can we do, God, to solve this? And I'm going around saying, oh, I have the peace that passes all understanding. Thank God, I have undisturbed composure, round and round. Praise God, I have undisturbed composure. Have undisturbed composure. Have undisturbed composure. Undisturbed composure. Undisturbed composure. Well, why am I saying that? Because that's my desire. That's what I'm calling for. That's where my faith is. God said I could have that peace that passes all understanding. That's undisturbed composure. And that's what I do not have. I've claimed the promise of God, and I'm talking constantly about my desire and what God is doing in my spirit that's going to manifest in my body. If it's in the spirit, it will come to the body. Yes. It's that easy. And God is so gracious, so merciful. He said, if you need help, call before you an elder. They'll help you. And I knew one place where the elders went, not from this place. Thank God for that. They called for elders, and they all went to see what the Lord would do. I went, oh, God. Does that sound like faith to you? Let's pray a while and see what the Lord will do. He already said what he'd do. You call for help, you better be sure you're getting Holy Ghost help. In fact, over the years I've watched, I know about who I'd call. Well, what is your mountain? If you don't know, that's where I'd start my praying. What does the scripture say about your mountain? If you've got your mountain identified, then you need to go to scripture until faith cometh. It says faith comes And I like a quote to you all the time, what one minister said, must not have been there, for it cometh there, it wouldn't have had to come there. Faith comes. So, identify your mountain. Identify the scripture that removes your mountain. Ask in faith. Be prepared for an onslaught of feelings and dilemmas. But don't waver. Don't hesitate. Don't doubt. Don't let anything separate you from your desire and from the word that addresses your desire. And then always refer to your situation. Call it as if it's already happened. Thank God I'm healed. Because it has happened in the spirit. The day you ask, it happened in the spirit. Well, I'm talking about praying the prayer of faith. Now, when you pray for wisdom, you're not praying the prayer of faith. And you stand for wisdom till you get it. Because it's not that God's not sending it. Is that sometimes he's sending it to you. He's sending it to me, and sometimes we're not as receptive. You know, years ago, a lady came to me. She had a dilemma, and she says, I've got three choices. She wanted me to listen. I said, fine. So she mapped out choice one, choice two, and choice three. I just happened to notice she had a fourth choice that she hadn't mentioned. It's just obvious that there was also something else we could do if we wanted to. So I'm not being, you know, I don't know what God wants to do. I don't have any idea. And I just said to her, well, you need to consider also this fourth choice. And when you're thinking about these first three things that you could do to solve this, this fourth thing might solve that as well, and you need to consider that. She leaped to her feet, slammed the door in my face, and I didn't see her for weeks. Now, you can't approach wisdom that way. If you're not open to anything God would do, you'll not hear from heaven. And I'm just real honest with God. I said, the very last thing I want to do is to sell my house. If that's what you're fixing to say to me, God, that's going to be real hard for me to hear. Or whatever it is. Why? Be honest with God. And you have to open up when you ask for wisdom. That's what I want you to see. Since sometimes the reason it's not that God delayed bringing you the wisdom, is it took him a while to get through to you. Because sometimes his plan is so foreign to us, it's hard for us to hear. So I will let the word sink into my heart. It sinks into my ears. Down into my heart. And it, Jesus the Word, is the anchor of my mind, will, and emotions. Is the strong tower of my spirit. And I have the word, and I will not waver. I will not be hesitant. I am confident. I do know what God has said. If I don't know, I'll pray till I know. I'm not praying any wishy-washy. Sort of almost prayer. Leaving it up to the Lord. No use leaving it up to the Lord. He left it up to me. Jesus came. Jesus provided. Now it's up to me to find the word, to find the desire, to be anchored. Now, if I feel myself coming unanchored, I'm running for a Holy Ghost friend, a tongue talking friend, a divine healing friend, a word friend. Why am I doing that? I have to protect my faith. I have to protect my faith. And if the circumstances and the people around me are going to cause me to waver, they have to move. See, we have to be tough. Love is tough. And faith is tough.